Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. But first, here is his message, Hearing with Your Heart.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Parables remind us that God is seen in everything, in every way, every day, if you're looking. I mean, God speaks in a baby's cry, the creation of a new life. God speaks through a child, a little child shall lead them. God speaks in the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens declare the glory of God. God speaks in a majestic mountain or the depths of, and the vastness of an ocean. We see something of God. God is speaking all the time. That's his general revelation that is on constantly. But beyond this general revelation, God has spoken to us finally and fully and completely with the ultimate eternal message in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus came with this good news that God loves you and has an incredible purpose and plan for your life. And he shows us and tells us through these interesting, intriguing stories, the parables, how we can relate to God, because in Christ, God is speaking. And so we come to this parable in the 8th chapter, and we're going to begin reading in verse 5, the parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things, and as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 9. And when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now, what's this about? First, the mystery of the parable, and of parables in general, the mystery of this whole thing. Because there's something about parables that reveal, and there's something about parables that conceal. A parable is insider information. It is a sacred secret, a divine mystery. A mystery is not a whodunit in the Bible, but a mystery is a divine revelation of God, something that was not previously known that is now revealed only by God. You see, it is impossible to understand the truth about God apart from God speaking through his Spirit, through the Word of God. And so God reveals himself through his Word, by his Spirit, to the responsive heart. And so Jesus spoke in parables, and his true followers, his disciples, they would get it. They would be on board with the ideas that Jesus was sharing. But others were unresponsive, particularly the religious system of his day, and those who practiced religion without true relationship with God, they didn't get what Jesus was saying. Now, to the insider, this is an open secret, this gospel. We get it, but to those who do not know, who do not understand, the Bible says the natural man, the human, doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. To those who don't know, maybe you share the gospel with a friend, or you share something of the Bible with a friend, and they say, "You know, I just don't get it. I don't see what you Christians are talking about." They're not lying. They're telling the truth. It's just right over their heads. They don't get it. It doesn't connect. And it may seem like a puzzle, a riddle, a parable that cannot be understood. Because the Bible, the Word of God, is a savor The scripture says, a savor of life, a taste of life unto life to those who believe, but of death unto death to those who do not believe. Or to put it in an old proverb, the same sun that melts the ice hardens the clay. Some people hear the word of God and are resistant. Others hear the word of God, the good news of Jesus, and are responsive. How are you hearing? That's what this is all about. How you hear. Let's look at the meaning of the parable that Jesus gave us in this instance. It was a common scene for a farmer to sow seed, plant his crops, and expect a harvest. And this is the case here, where Jesus, when he's teaching, and he's teaching right now a large group of people, and he's endeavoring to separate the followers from just the fans. And so he gives us this parable, and he says a farmer goes out, he takes seed, he throws the seed out, and what is the seed? We don't have to wonder about the nature of this seed. What is the seed? Verse 11 says, the seed is the word of God. So the seed is the word of God. The seed is the gospel. The scripture, the nature of the Bible is called a lamp, it's called a light, it's called a sword, it's called milk, it's called meat. But the word seed is descriptive of the Bible because it speaks of the miracle of the Bible, the miracle of God's word. You think about a seed. A seed in and of itself is a miracle thing. Life is in the seed. You can plant a small seed and produce a mammoth plant. You can plant a seed and it will grow a tree. So the seed has life, and the word of God, which is the seed, is filled with life. The life-giving, life-changing, transforming power of the seed, the word of God. This is why we preach the Bible. This is why we teach the Bible. You might as well, some people plant marbles and expect a harvest when it comes to preaching the Bible. In other words, they never preach the Bible and then wonder why they don't have a harvest. God's promised to bless His Word. The Word is the seed. The Word is the life-giving power of the gospel. And so we preach it, we teach it. I can't even imagine what I would say week after week without the Word of God. And notice there was nothing wrong with the seed here. The seed is the seed. The seed's the Word of God. The Word of God is pure. But as we'll note, there was something wrong with the soils that received the seed. But first, the sower. A sower went out to sow. Again, a common occurrence. Maybe Jesus would have even pointed to a farmer who was doing this, taking a real life story and illustrating this spiritual truth. So he said, here's a farmer. He goes out and these men would have bags around their necks and they would reach in and just indiscriminately and vigorously and actively and just throw the seed everywhere, generously, liberally. Now the sower initially is Jesus himself, who came to earth to sow the seed of his own life. And like a seed, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And he is the one on mission, sharing the word of God. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so do I send you. So the call of Christ upon every church and every Christian is to sow the seeds of the gospel. If we want a harvest, if we want to produce, then we must sow the seeds of the gospel. This is our business. We're in the agricultural business. We're in the farming business. It is to sow the seed of the Word of God. This is why evangelism and missions is the heartbeat of this church, and it should be the heartbeat of every Christian. We literally can fulfill the Great Commission in our lifetime, and we should, because Jesus is coming soon. And so we're to sow the gospel. But not everyone responds positively. I was reading a research paper by Pew Research. 35,000 people in America were surveyed regarding their attitudes towards faith and no faith and religion and no religion and kinds of religion. It was the most in-depth, comprehensive study of religion in America in a long, long time. And the report came out, and some were shocked by it when it indicated that people are becoming less and less religious in America. More and more eclectic in religious experience. More people are checking no religion and no belief in God and no faith as never before. Some people got all excited about that, frustrated about that, but I just said, huh? Jesus took his own survey 2,000 years ago. It's called the parable of the soils. It's really not the parable of the sower. The focus is on the soils, the kind of conditions that either reject the gospel or receive the message. And so one of my preacher friends preached a message on this parable one time, and he called it, "Why Do Some Preachers Have Crop Failure?" And sometimes you look at the world and the way the world is going, and some churches are emptying and declining and so on, and you wonder, is the gospel failing? Is the gospel on the way out? Are we going to look up one day and see no Christians? Well, Jesus told a parable about that.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, Hearing with Your Heart. June 30th is PowerPoint's financial year end, and we need your help. A generous friend has offered to match every gift given to PowerPoint this month. So any gift you give to PowerPoint will be doubled, allowing us to keep the hope of Jesus Christ coming your way and going out to millions more all over the world. And when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Hearing with Your Heart.
Well, Jesus told a parable about that. And he said, when the sower sows the seed, there are four kinds of soils. And that's the soils. Four soil samples. And he explains the parable in verse 12. He says, the ones along the path are those who have heard when the devil comes and takes the word from their hearts. When a farmer would sow the seeds just everywhere, people would often walk through the farms and the villages. Paths would get worn and beaten down and hardened. And so some of the seed, he said, was sown on this hard ground. And of course, the seed could not penetrate the hardness of the soil. So the first heart is the hard and indifferent heart. The gospel does not penetrate this heart. And then along comes the birds and they eat the seeds. And Jesus is giving us this vivid picture of what happens in church. Not in the streets. Oh, it can happen in the streets. But it happens in church. And you know what is happening right now? And here's what's happening. The word of God's going out. I'm throwing it as hard as I can. I'm scattering the seed. I'm broadcasting. And the word sowing there literally means broadcasting. We're broadcasting the seed. And some of it's falling on deaf ears, hard hearts, calcified hearts. Because what happens if you hear and you hear and you hear, you can become gospel hardened. Gospel hardened. Some of you have heard and heard and heard and heard and heard and heard. And your heart is now hard and resistant. God says, my spirit will not always strive with a man. The Bible says, he who is often reproved and hardens his neck, bows up his neck, will suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. That's what Jesus is saying. So the seed falls on hard ground, and then the birds, the devil, comes along and snatches it away. So the devil is alive and well and working, and he's not in hell shoveling coal. He's here, snatching away the seeds of the Word of God. Don't harden your heart. This is why in so many instances the church in America has become a field for evangelism rather than a force for evangelism. Because people hear sermons but don't know Christ. This is why it's so refreshing to go to a mission field. Many of you have been to mission fields, and isn't it wonderful to see the responsiveness to people who have never heard? It's why a child, you know, is so responsive. One of my favorite things to do is about once every month or so, I bring in the children who have recently received Christ. They've been through our new Christians class. We make sure that our boys and girls get the gospel and hear the Word of God and understand who Jesus is and why they need Jesus and how he came to save us. We go through all of that, and then I get to meet with them and talk to them about following through in their baptism. And it's just such a, and to see the excitement and the eagerness in a child's eyes. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child and be converted, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. That's why 85% of people that come to Christ come before the age of 18. If you became a Christian after the age of 18, you are a rare soul. Because life can trample us down. Just like these pathways were made with people walking on them, the world walking on them, people's hearts can get hard. They can get embittered when the world walks on you and when sin walks through you and your heart gets hard. Jesus said, don't be that kind of heart. Be the kind of heart that is different. Ask God to give you the heart of a child that is soft and pliable. And pray right now as I'm preaching for the Spirit of God to open hearts, to be responsive to the gospel. Second kind of heart is the seed that is sown on the rocky, sandy soil. The rocky, sandy soil. You see it there? This is verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. These are shallow hearts, superficial hearts. They represent people who like it soft, like it easy, like it sugar-coated, shallow. Literally, in that day, there would be limestone underneath the ground at places, and there would be just a small topsoil. And so Jesus said the seed would go in the topsoil, just an inch or so down. But when the sun came out, when the heat was on, it withered and died for lack of moisture. So this is illustrative of people who may make a decision, an emotional decision. Now, there's nothing wrong with emotion in a decision for Christ. In fact, if you don't have passion about your relationship with Christ, something's wrong. But emotionalism, just making an emotional decisions without counting the cost and the consequences, and we're wrong to tell people, oh, you come to Jesus and everything's going to be great. It may not all be great. You may face new persecution. You may face new struggles and difficulties that you've never known before. So it's wrong to tell people, come to Jesus and everything's going to be just great. You're going to be healthy, wealthy, happy the rest of your life. There are challenges, and we're called to a cross. But some people like it soft. Some people like it sentimental. Don't ruffle any feathers. Don't go too deep. Jesus said that kind of message never gets through. Because when the heat's on, the sun comes up, And the moisture goes out, the plant dies. And there will be heat, and there will be horrible circumstances in our lives when the heat is on, and you better have something more than a shallow faith when that happens. Well, the third heart is the preoccupied and distracted heart. He said, other seeds went on the ground, and it was rocky soil, and there were weeds and thorns there, and this choked it, choked the life out of the seed, choked the life out of the plant. It couldn't grow. And Jesus tells us there are three kinds of weeds here. Anxiety, the cares of this world, riches, and the pleasures of this life. People that are so caught up in themselves and selfish pursuits and sinful pleasures that ultimately, even though they may have professed faith, they have never possessed faith, and the pursuit of things and wealth and idols in their life ultimately choke out their souls. When you allow possessions to possess you, they poison your soul and keep you from Jesus. Jesus had a young man who was described as wealthy. He was rich. He was young. He was a ruler. He was a dazzling young man. He came to Jesus. Jesus challenged him to the core of his being to follow him, but he could not, he would not follow Jesus because he had great possessions, and he walked away and he never came back as far as we know. Pleasures, sinful pleasures, selfish, sinful pursuits will choke the life out of your faith. Sometimes students grow up in church, and then they go to college and turn everything loose, and they party hard. And it feels so liberating, but it's actually life-altering for so many. Middle-aged adults trying to rediscover their youth. Grown men acting like frat boys who haven't grown up. The sinful, selfish pleasures. And that will keep you from responding and receiving the Word of God, and will strangle and suffocate your spirit, your ability to connect with Christ. Jesus told us to follow Him first, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The fourth heart is the good soil that is soft and pliable. He spoke of this good soil in verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who are hearing the word of God, hold it fast, they're honest, they have a good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of Christ in us. The gospel goes down deep and strong. It penetrates the inner recesses of the heart. This is not the clueless heart. It goes right over their head because their heart is hard. This is not the careless heart. This is not the casual heart who wants something shallow or easy. This is the committed heart who follows Christ regardless of the cost and regardless of the consequences.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, Hearing with Your Heart. PowerPoint is coming up on the end of our financial year, and we've got some exciting news to share with you today. Some friends have stepped forward with a $180,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give this month to help PowerPoint finish this financial year strong. With more people than ever searching for what only Jesus can provide, your gift today is nothing short of vital to help ensure PowerPoint remains a beacon of hope in the year ahead. And we'll say thanks for your gift today by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God, for you or someone you know. So call now to have your financial year-end gift doubled and request your copy of A Man of God as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Jesus wants to make sure that we're really hearing Him, that we're listening to what He says. And that's why He gave us this very interesting and intriguing parable about the soils, that we would hear not only with our ears,
but that we would hear with our hearts. There's a great scripture chorus that I enjoy singing, "Open the eyes of my heart," that we would see, that we would hear, that we would respond deeply to the Word of God. So obviously that means more than just showing up at church every now and then and skimming through the sermon and never really responding. That's a shallow faith, and it won't last during tough times. When we really hear the Word of God, we will respond and surrender to the Lord. And then the Word of God, the good news of Christ, will begin to change us from the inside out, reproducing the character of Christ, to witness of His love and of His grace, to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So I would challenge you, when you listen to a message, when you listen to the teaching of God's Word, that you would ask the Spirit of God to dig deeply into your heart, that you would ask the Word of God to correct anything in your life that needs to be correcting, to change anything in your life that needs changing, to empower you for godly and obedient living, that you would reproduce the life of Christ in you by the power of His Holy Spirit. As the Word of God takes root in our lives, then it begins to grow in our lives and produce spiritual fruit, which most of all and best of all is our likeness to Jesus Himself. I want to encourage you to allow Jesus to rule and reign in every area of your life, to live under the authority, the lordship of Christ, to ask Him to take total command, to be in charge, and to control your thoughts, your actions, your attitudes, everything in your life. This is the only way to live in fullness and in blessing and with great success in the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you, as always, to visit us at jackgraham.org. And there you can give us your prayer request. You can follow us on Twitter or Facebook. And if this program has encouraged you and blessed you and you want to support PowerPoint, you can give an online donation. Again, it's easy. Just go to jackgraham.org. God bless you. Thank you. I look forward to our next time together.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful book, A Man of God, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And join us again next time when Dr. Graham brings a message about how you've been invited to the greatest feast of all time. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.